I think God wants me to take my time tonight in the book of James. Would you find James chapter 1? We won't leave James. I want to take a moment, and I knew what Carol was going to say, and I knew about her testimony, and I knew about the trial of her life. I wanted to take a moment and just remind you about some things when the trials fall upon you. When the trials fall upon you will be my title. When trials come into your life, there are some things that you need to immediately know. All of us that know God will find ourselves facing trials and tests and temptations upon in our life. James chapter 1 is paramount to your understanding to surviving those moments. It's one thing to survive it physically. It's another thing to survive the trials spiritually. Some people think that just going through a trial themselves brings about a spiritual maturity. But I have found, my friends, that in my position as pastor, more times than not, trials make a Christian bitter more than they make them better. More times than not, trials make us bitter more than they make us better. God does not want, nor does your pastor want, for trials to make you bitter. And so I want to teach you some things from James chapter 1. James, this book, you know, is probably one of the earliest books that was written in the New Testament. Most Bible scholars believe that it was still written while the church was mostly Jewish. So you're talking very early in the book of Acts, very early as the church began to make its way away from Pentecost. When you look at verse number 1, you find that the book of James is addressed to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. This is probably when the church was mostly Jewish. The book of James, if you were to sum it up in its totality in a simple way, the very best way to sum it up is that it's an epistle on Christian living. Very, very practical book. And as James is writing here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God and burden for these 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, knowing that he's writing a very practical book on Christian living, really begins this book with one of the most crucial topics that we as Christians face. And that topic would be the topic of trials. Now, as I think about my life, sometimes we just kind of assume that we go through trials and tests, but really and truthfully, sometimes we have a hard time communicating what those were. How many remember a very specific moment in your life when you went through a tremendous trial? It fell upon you. You can communicate that. James writing says in verse number 2, "My brethren, count it all." Do you say that word? Joy. When you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. Hard to read that verse and really wrap your mind around it. I'll tell you this. If you don't have your mind wrapped around it before you go into a trial, you're not going to wrap your mind around it in the middle of the trial. I'll say that again. If you don't have your mind wrapped around this verse and your heart prepared for this verse before you enter into a trial, you're probably not going to survive and be able to wrap your mind around it very easily when you're in the middle of the trial. This verse is designed as a preparation and a preventative to prevent bitterness in your life. I would like to say this. I have suffered. You have suffered. All of us have suffered and been through trials. Nobody on the planet has ever had the right to get bitter against God because of a trial. Our God is perfect. It's unfair. It's unnatural to the spirit life to become bitter at God when we fall in to various trials and temptations. Let me be very clear to you. What James is telling us to take joy in are negative experiences. That word diverse or various temptations are not simple. They're not easy. They are negative as they can be experienced with us in our reality. He's talking about in verse number 2, external trials. Matter of fact, you ought to take your pen and by verse number 2, you ought to write the word external trials. Carol's trial was not anything that she could have done to avoid. This was not something that was brought upon by her. It was brought upon outside of her. It was an external trial that God allowed in her life. It would be perceived in the human mind as a negative experience. You would not have to be told by James to count it all joy if these were positive experiences. Positive experiences, just by their very definition, are naturally joyful. So you have the Bible here telling you that you're counting a negative experience in your life, a negative external happening that falls upon you. And you and I have the responsibility to count it and see it as joy. Pastor, that doesn't even make sense. How can a negative become a positive? It becomes a positive when you understand that who sent this, who allowed it, and a positive when you understand the work that God can accomplish through anything in our lives. So James says you're going to fall and have external trials and testing come into you. They're going to be perceived as negative immediately because they're going to hurt. They're going to hurt physically. They're going to hurt emotionally. They're going to hurt mentally. They're going to hurt relationally. They're going to hurt in all kinds of ways to feel pain. Now, as a believer, your immediate response ought to be joy. Because we understand the positive work that God is wanting to accomplish in our lives. Let me explain something to you. We learned this as men yesterday. You're valuable to God. And God has a plan for your life. Well, Pastor, I know God has a plan for your life. You're the pastor, and so God's going to work in your life. If God's going to work in Tom Hunter's life, God's going to work in your life. No Christian is exempt from God testing your faith. No Christian. I don't care if you're married or not. I don't care if you're a woman or a man. I don't care if you're 1,000 years old. I don't care if you're retired or you have a job. I don't care if you're a teacher or you're a student. No Christian is exempt from God testing our faith. God tests your faith for your good, but also for His glory. He's going to do this in your life. You're not going to excuse it. You're not going to be exempt from it. Verse number 3, what's the first word? Knowing. He wants you to know. Knowing this, that the trying or the approval or approving or testing of your faith worketh patience. And see, it's not necessarily the trial that is going to bring about spiritual maturity. Just because a trial comes into your life does not demand or dictate that there's going to be spiritual maturity. It's the testing or the approving in the victory in this trial that enables me to rejoice in spiritual growth and maturity. All of us face tests. All of us face trials. All of us are either bettered or we're bittered. That choice is yours. That choice is mine. that choice seems so simple in the moments of our lives. I've heard this said multiple ways. I don't ever want you to forget this. The Christian whom God uses the most is usually the Christian that God has bruised the most. I was told it this way as a preacher boy. Tom, the man that God uses the most is usually the man that God breaks the most. The Christian that God uses the most is the Christian upon whom God has bruised the most. And you will find that certain trials have certain levels. Some of them have a simplicity. Some of them have a tremendous complexity. And as God brings you in and out of these trials, and God's testing that faith, God is approving that faith, God is growing you spiritually, God is receiving glory for you, the ones usually that God gets the most glory out of are the ones who have to suffer the most. Suffering in the Bible is always followed by glory. Pastor, I don't want to hurt. Well, join the crowd. But I have found that usually the man that God uses the most, or the woman God uses the most, is the man or woman that God has to hurt the most. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse number 4 is so important, so important. Verse number 4 is a spiritual counter to a natural response. It is a spiritual counter to a natural response. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting nothing. The natural response to adversity or to a trial is to escape it, to get out from under it, to get away from it, to recoil back. I don't want this. Don't do this to me. And so as God brings tests and trials into our life, that natural thing is to pull that hand back. I don't want to hurt. James says, but God uses trouble to mature his people. So James says, now when that trial falls on you, or you fall into that trial and it's an external trial, you had nothing to do with it. Either God allowed Satan somehow to do this to you, or God did this to you. Your immediate recoil is going to be, I want out of this trial. And God said, wait, no. Just relax. Rest. Trust me. By the way, do you trust God? God says, now, be patient. Be patient, Pastor. Be patient in what area? Be patient with your bitterness. Be patient with your blame. Be patient with what your words coming out of your mouth. Let patience work. Let it move. Let it bring a completeness or a totality to the moment. Well, Pastor, I'm hurting in this test. I'm hurting in this trial. I have to do something. Oh, yeah. But let me just clear up a little bit of advantage. They used to say, do something even if it's wrong. Well, I got news for you. Doing something wrong is stupid. You want to do something? Look at verse number 5. If any of you lack, say it out loud, wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And maybe if God's having a good day, he'll let you have a little wisdom. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says, and it shall be given him. Wisdom. When you fall into diverse temptation, these are external tests and trials that come upon you. Understand God's testing and approving your faith. It's going to be a negative experience. If you let it be a negative experience, it's going to be a painful experience. You're going to have some spiritual understanding as to what God is doing. You're going to have to understand who God is, his ability to walk with you here. You have to understand why he would test your faith. You have to understand that he's capable to bring you through this. And even though it's a negative experience, the positiveness is that God does all things perfectly. If you're not prepared for that, then when you're in the accident, you're a long way coming around to that. Wisdom. Pastor, why do I need wisdom? Well, you need wisdom as to the reason for the trial. And then you need wisdom on how to endure the trial. Wisdom. God, why did you send this into my life? God may give you a specific or he may not. I'll give you two specifics that you know. All things work together for your good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purposes. And then he also said that he does everything in our life for his glory. You want two specifics? There you go. Your good, his glory. Now, you and I need wisdom on how we relate between those two wonderful things that God does in our life. Wisdom for the reason of the trial. I remember those days that Carol would ask me why. I remember those days when other people asked me why. I remember the days in my own life when I asked God why. But I have found as I was patient and I didn't get bitter about God, as God let me make my way down and through and he led me, now I'm able to look back over the hand of God directing in my life and I can see that God does nothing without purpose and plan. Nothing. Why do I need to endure the temptation or the test? By the way, this is an external test that's for our good. Look at verse number 12. The first word of verse number 12 is what? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. This word temptation is not evil temptation. This is the word trial or test. This is an external test that God has allowed in your life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It does make human sense to look upon tragedy or a test or a trial as a curse from God. Job did that. Job's friends did that. But you must understand that trials are the means through which God's blessings come. Endurance in and victory over trials brings God's blessing upon our life. This is how God works. And it's a refining process. Listen, the Christian life is not void of pain. You got to hear that again. What's that shot they give women? The epidural. The Christian life is not void of pain. There's going to be pain. Why? Jesus suffered. Jesus had pain. It's not God picking on you, and God never promised you a pain-free life. Here's what he did promise you, a predestinated life. What's predestinated, Pastor? God promised the child of God that he would be predestinated to the image of Christ. And so the same way that Jesus Christ suffered and knew the glory of God, God's children will suffer and know the glory of the Lord. External trials that have a negative direction or connotation if you let them, but they come with pain, are not designed by God to bring a bitterness to your soul. They're designed by God to better you. They're designed by God to bless you. And there is an endurance in that. Now, here's the problem. Most people bail and you never see the blessing of God. Well, Pastor, I've been in this trial a very long time. Well, I got news for you. God's not interested in your timing. He's not interested in my timing. God works according to his own timing. Well, could you tell him to hurry up? No. I can tell you to have wisdom. I can tell you to pray and ask God for wisdom why he's got you here. I can tell you to pray and ask God to give you wisdom to endure. God's not interested in hurrying. He's interested in you enduring. Why? Because there's a refining process that God is working for his glory. Here's the danger. The danger is verses 13 and 14. Don't miss this. Get that pen back out. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Wait a minute, Pastor. You've just been telling me that God brings trials and temptations or testings into our life. Right. But James is saying he doesn't. Right. Well, how can you both be right? Because God's word says we're both right. Read on. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his, what's that word, class? Own lust and enticed. Right beside verse number 14, write the word internal. Internal. Verse number 2, external trials. Things that come apart from us that God allows into my life as a testing or a trial, they absolutely are going to be negative in my immediate presumption, because the Bible told me to count it all joy. Makes no sense to have to count something positive as joy. That's a natural response. However, it's coming with a positive motive in the fact that God is desiring to try and test that faith for our good and his glory. And so God navigates that and approves that. He will test the faith of every one of his kids, every one of us. Well, Pastor, I don't know anywhere in my life where God's tested my faith. Then you better make sure you're in the faith. Pastor, it feels like God's forsaken me. That's how you know he's probably in you. Pastor, my whole world's crashing down. Right. 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 It's not my fault. Right. Right. Don't tell me that. Sorry. But that's what God does to our lives. And he wants you just to simply be patient. Don't get bitter with him. Let it work. He'll bring you to a maturity and a completeness. Here's what the devil will do. The devil will take that external trial and begin to work on you internally. And when the devil begins to work on you internally and you begin to let your own flesh and your own lust and you become enticed with that, then you find a bitterness and a drawing away and a sulking and a distance and a failure. Then the natural thing for the Christian to say, look what God did to me, Pastor. I remember a day when I was serving God. I remember a day when everything was going great. And now I'm in a hellhole. And now I'm hurt. And now I'm suffering. And now look at me where I am. This is all God's fault. No. You let that inward enticement and temptation within you bring you to a position where you did not endure that external thing for the trial, for your good and for your glory. And now you're being all twisted up in your own nature and you've got yourself bitter against God. And God didn't destroy you with evil. God didn't tempt you with evil. But now you're finding that temptation within yourself. And now you've put yourself outside of the blessing of God. You've put yourself in a bitter position with God. Here's what you don't realize. Go to verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? What's he talking about there? What give? Pastor, is he talking about material gifts? No. He's talking about trials. He's talking about those tests. He's talking about those workings. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. James is saying the only gifts God gives are good. That's all he gives. So if God gave you a trial and God gave me a trial, then it must be good. Because he doesn't give any other kind of gifts. Pastor, we have lost children. I have lost jobs. I have faced external things in my life that were out of my control. And I'm bitter. Okay. But when God allowed that to happen, in the mind and heart of God, it came from good. Curtis Hudson, one of the great old preachers, wrote a book. I forget what book it was in, but he gave this illustration. And he said, he pictured a big executive desk. And he pictured a set of files on top of the desk right here. And they were briefs. And inside those briefs were the names of the child of God. And your name would have been in there. And God had to receive these briefs. And what God would do is he would sign off on these briefs, and then as he would sign off on these things, they would be appropriated in our lives. And he told a story about how God would receive these briefs, and he would look at it and he would say, "Well, Tom can't take or handle this one. I'm not going to give this one to him. Yeah, this one will be hard on him, but if he'll endure and he'll let patience work and he'll ask for wisdom, this is a good gift for Tom. Tom's faith needs to be tried here, and I'll get glory from this. I'm signing off on this in Tom's life." And then he would appropriate that in my life. And I got news for you. The one signing off on that in that illustration is the one that gave his life for me. And he gave his life for me. He's not going to give me anything that's going to destroy me. He's going to give me things that draw me close to him, things that are good for me, things that try me, things that he can get glory in. This is how Christian people must think, or you're going to get bitter. But you cannot get bitter at God. He is without sin, and he's without wrong. Gave a wonderful testimony, Carol. And I would say to you that you did not get bitter. You may have battled bitterness, but you realize that it came from God, and God has got great glory from this in your life. And I think it's a fitting service. Shall we pray?